Welcome to the Wolverine Digest Podcast, the best spot for objective and authentic coverage of Michigan athletics. If you want open dialogue, honest opinions, and in-depth coverage of the maize and blue, this is the podcast for you. And now, here's your host, Brandon Brown, joined as always by Chris Breiler.
I'm just going to start by saying go blue.
Well, Chris, we've been away for a couple of days here. We decided to shift off of Monday, then we had a basketball game to worry about. But I am pumped because we are joined by, I don't know, can we go legend status with Mr. John Bacon?
The GOAT?
Can we go legend?
GOAT status?
You've said his name. I'm going to fade the music out and bring John in here. He's already laughing. You've said his name before. You've read his books before. You may have even taken a class with him, right? I mean, John, you have reached far and wide here. I would call him a legend in the Michigan media market. I'm super excited to have Mr. John U. Bacon here. Thanks for coming, man.
Hey, Brandon, my pleasure, man. I even figured out the technology. How about that?
It took a minute.
Which is why I'm at my desk holding up my phone in my hand. That's genius right there.
So. It took a minute, but we are here. I didn't even realize this, but my little fake backdrop back here, which is actually real stuff. I got two books by Mr. John Bacon right back there.
Hey, wow, there it is.
This is cool, man. I'm thinking all the way back to when I was still teaching. I was nowhere near being in the media market, and I'm reading Three and Out, the stuff with Rich Rod. So it's an honor to have you here, man. I really appreciate it.
You're very kind. By the way, where'd you teach?
I was teaching down in South Carolina. It was a small school called Riverside Middle School in Pendleton, near Clemson.
Wow.
Yep.
That's very cool, by the way. I've got a soft spot for teachers. I taught myself, of course, my mom, my grandmother, you name it. So well done.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a middle school science teacher and football and basketball coach for 8 years before I got into this stuff. So,
no kidding.
Yeah.
Look at you now.
That's right, man. That's right. So I want to get right into it, John. I know we're not going to keep you real long, but I mean, I know you've been doing the tongue-in-cheek thing a little bit. We don't know anything. Nothing. Nobody knows a thing. I know you know some stuff because I know you're plugged in. You know, you don't speculate because at heart, you're an author. You can't speculate when you put things down on paper. You can do it a little bit more on Twitter or on a website article. But when you say we don't know, what exactly do you mean? Because I know there's people. I mean, I used to work with Chris Ballas. I know Sam Webb is plugged in. I know you know people. I know some people. We know some things. But at the end of the day, if Jim Harbaugh doesn't know what he's going to do, and I really believe he doesn't, what do we know and what do we not know at this point?
I think you're getting warm on that one, as you know, of course. You and I converse occasionally via direct messaging on Twitter and elsewhere, of course. And, of course, Ballas and Sam are both good friends of mine. And that's not a bad little short list right there. You, Sam, and Chris, you can do a whole lot worse as far as tracking the story. Those guys don't throw out chum to the crowds. They're pretty authentic, I think, and pretty careful. They're very authentic and very careful. I talk to sources every day, probably about half a dozen. I'm sure you do. I'm sure those guys talk to at least that many. And you hit the nail on the head. Right now, insofar as Jim has not, I don't think, made up his final mind, your final answer, on what he's going to do and what the options might be, you can't know until that happens. And also, second thing in this case is the Harbaugh family and the athletic department have been as tight-lipped on this as I've seen in any case. And I've been around this thing for a while. So the discipline on both sides has been almost absolute. So even people who know them very well are left to guess, basically. So, and you watch for vibes, and it's kind of like, it's not terrorism, I grant you that, but the way the FBI and the CIA monitor chatter online, that's kind of what we're dealing with here. Okay, the chatter is kind of shifting this way, shifting that way. The chatter right now is shifting towards Jim coming back to Michigan. I never went below 60-40, even when I was hearing a lot about Oakland, especially. I think I got it now 75-25, and I think I'm about to put that up even higher. The musical chairs in the NFL is ending chair by chair, as we know right now. So still some chairs available, and you don't know what's going to happen. When a team gets down to its third or fourth choice, maybe, who knows? If Jim was their first choice right now, you'd probably know that.
Yeah,
I would think. And as far as Michigan goes, he's already under contract. That's the loophole that people forget. He's under contract and he's doing the job. So officially, there's no reason for Ward Manuel or Jim to panic or do anything differently than they are right now. And although I do not think that contract from last year is going to keep him this year, $4 million is not, you know, getting punched in the nose either, as these things go. If you want to insult me, start at $4 million. I'll take that. I get tilty here. So I think it's going to be – and the other thing, too, is the NFL windows and the college football windows don't mesh at all. So NFL is in no particular rush right now. And, of course, college football programs would love to get this stuff nailed down before signing day, before big recruiting weekends and the like. And they just also don't like the open loop aspect of being negative recruited and whatnot. So there's those aspects. But I think it's going to end with a whimper, not a bang. I'm almost certain that he'll end up back in Michigan. Nothing negative at Michigan. He loves it. His parents love it. Kids love it, and so on. But I always tell my students, I'd rather be second and right than first and wrong. And so far I'm neither.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think you can throw a third layer in there. Things are tight-lipped from the Raiders side. From everything I've gathered, there's not a lot of – other than they have to kind of disclose the interview process stuff. It's not like they're saying a lot of exactly what they're thinking or what they want to do or what Mark Davis is leaning towards. And I've heard Jim's name was closer to the top, and now maybe it's third or fourth, and there's been some jockeying there. So it's just a very fluid thing back and forth. And you're right. The timelines are weird and different. And this is a thing that I feel like a lot of Michigan fans struggle with, is that Jim Harbaugh loves Michigan, loves Ann Arbor, loves everything about it, but can also be very tempted by the NFL. Like, both of those things can be true at the same time. And that makes it difficult to really figure out what he's leaning towards.
Well, because he could go either direction very happily. He's an unhappy guy right now. He said last year was a great season, one of his favorite of all time, favorite teams. Mm-hmm. But he still has that NFL itch to scratch. He came within one play of winning a Super Bowl against his brother, of course. So he's that close. Part of him, I know, wants to go back at some point or other. Now, when that is, if it does happen, who knows? But you added a very important third layer. It's usually when you're dealing with this equation, the easiest part usually is the NFL side of things. Mm-hmm. The coaching question, the Michigan tend to be tight-lipped. NFL is almost never tight-lipped because agents have big mouths and they talk to people. They're trying to beat the drum for their candidate, of course. So things tend to leak out more than they should. Also, in the case of the 49ers last time, you know, Balky and Jed York were only too happy to throw Jim under the bus. So as a result, they're leaking all kinds of stuff, which made our jobs, frankly, easier. So I have to give Mark Davis credit with the Raiders. He's shown a discipline rare among NFL teams. The Green Bay Packers pull it off. The Pittsburgh Steelers pull it off, and not many others.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned too, I mean, and this has been, I'm going to get your opinion on this because I'm curious to see what you'll say. I think everybody's on the same page in saying that Jim Harbaugh doesn't have your typical agent. He doesn't have a Drew Rosenhaus. He doesn't have some super agent out there, but he's got some legal counsel. He's not out there banging out deals himself, but I think that's a part of it. There's no agent to be blabbing to everybody about what's going on when you're dealing with Jim Harbaugh and maybe some other college coaches too. It's different when you're dealing NFL to NFL versus NFL to a college guy. So clear up the best you can for anybody out there exactly how Jim Harbaugh does go through this process in terms of new contracts, extensions, money, time, all of that stuff. Because it's complicated, man. He's not sitting down doing this on his own.
It is complicated, and as you pointed out, it is not conventional.
Yeah.
So one of the earlier dumb comments, which have now since been wiped out, but, oh, I'm sure his agent's doing this, and his agent's leveraging. Yeah, pal. If you knew a thing about this, you'd know that there is no agent to leverage. So no, that's not what's happening here. So another reason why this thing has been so quiet. His counsel, if you will, his legal counsel, the last time around in 2014, as I wrote in End Zone, he's a guy named John Denniston. Denniston, great guy, Michigan Law School grad, who I believe might have done the deal for free. Would not surprise me. He's a big Silicon Valley attorney. This kind of money, that he's fine. Let's just say that. But he has Jim's complete and total trust and faith. I consider John a good friend. He has spoken to my class before, gave a great lecture, well prepared. And I guarantee you, he is not one of my sources. He is as tight-lipped as they come. That's why he's close to Jim in the first place. So I can call him up right now and we'll talk. But I guarantee you, I will learn nothing about the situation. So, and that's, you know, that's what John's role is. It is entirely possible, I think, for Jim to get other help in the NFL, someone to shop it around, to look around, and so on, without having a formal agent-client relationship. And in that case, the strict instructions would be, you're doing the opposite of most agents, and that is, I do not want you banging the drum. I want you doing this without any fingerprints whatsoever. Mm. So there's your fourth layer of why we can't learn a damn thing. I'm still learning some things, and you are too, and we're getting warm. We kind of have a sense of how the NFL looks and how other situations look. I know that he's not obviously signed the Michigan deal. I know the initial Michigan deal was not very tempting to him, I don't think, and has since been raised. I think it's within range. Perhaps they can hammer out a few things at the end. I don't think he's going to exceed Mel Tucker's money. I don't think he cares about it. I don't think he needs to. So that's not – look, any guy just gave away a few million dollars in bonuses to the staff is not a guy who's motivated by greed. We know that. Right. So that is not going to work. Pride is a factor, I would say. That's not surprising with any big-time coach. So there's a bunch of half – there's a bunch of half straws for everybody. Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I had somebody on Twitter when I announced that I was bringing you on. They were very curious about this tiny team. I don't, maybe it's not teeny tiny. I'll let you it was your words. The Vikings thing. Is this Vikings thing legitimate? Because they were not a team being mentioned at all, kind of in the Harbaugh sweepstakes. It was basically Raiders only, Bears a little sniff maybe because he played there, Dolphins for obvious reasons with Stephen Ross, but right. That have been squashed as well. Vikings? Is that a thing at this point?
I don't know how big a thing it is. There has been some communication. I can say that. For a while, there was with Denver also. And that seems to obviously didn't go very far. And you never know. I mean, here's the thing. I cannot give you 100%. I cannot close the door until I see something signed. Mm-hmm. For that reason, that you don't know. And the NFL is one of the hardest things to predict. It's billionaire owners playing Xbox. And these are not rational people. Yeah. So at the last second, you know, get him. You never know. And by the way, I'm a bit surprised that someone has not laid down some real money for Jim in the NFL at an early stage. This man is number four all time in winning percentage. Three NFC conference finals, obviously, from a team that was dead in the water under Singletary. And you just had a great season at Michigan. So
That leads to a good question.
Surprisingly, the more people have not come his way. There is clearly a major youth movement right now going on in the NFL. And who knows where that takes it. There's the Rooney Rule also, of course, and Jim scores no points on that front. Nonetheless, I am still surprised that someone has not gone at him hard.
Yeah, I was going to say there's been nine openings now. I mean, you're talking more than a quarter of the league looking for a new head coach. Right. I think seven teams are going to hire someone worse than Jim Harbaugh. So, like, what are they doing? I mean, it's true. Like, you just said it. And I've been critical of the guy. I mean, I called it last year. I thought it was not a good job. This year, complete turnaround, tons of props. But they're going to – these NFL owners, you just said it, they're billionaire big kids in a lot of cases playing Xbox. Like, it's weird to me that Harbaugh is not getting more attention at this point because of those things you said. The winning record in the NFL, the Super Bowl appearance, all that stuff. I think, Chris, you were about to say it. I'm stepping on your toes a little bit here. Why? Like, why is this not more of an interest or an intrigue with Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, I mean, that's almost a two-part. A, why is there not more interest? And B, to me, it feels like this is probably the closest it's come since he's been at Michigan to possibly returning to the NFL. I'm wondering, he's 58 years old. If it doesn't happen this time and he re-signs with Michigan, are we going to run into this every single offseason, or does the likelihood that he stays at Michigan if he re-signs this time, does that go way up?
Great question. And someone on Twitter, and why do we keep on saying this? Someone on Twitter has said everything.
I hate when I say that about myself. That's what stirs my pot often.
Sorry, Brandon. What was that?
I was going to say that stirs my pot more than I wish it did. I was like, someone on Twitter. And I'm like, why did I say that? Come on.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is you're 8 years in a confined environment teaching middle school science. this is a different world. Yeah. And I can assure you this. Eighth graders may be easier to deal with than the Twitterverse.
You have no idea how many times I commented back, and I need to stop doing that. I'm like, what am I teaching my middle school class right now? What is this? Yeah, it's very similar. Very similar.
Here's the difference. Your eighth graders have the guts to sign their names. That's the difference.
Yeah, I know who they
are.
Exactly.
When they raise their hand, you know who they are. So there you go.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get my head from tilting here. I'm doing a poor job. But
anyway, no, you're good. You're good.
But anyway, just talking about what the Twitterverse.
Yeah. So is this the last, like, yeah. I mean, if he doesn't make the leap this year, he's 58 years old. He re-signs with Michigan, presumably with a much bigger deal. Does that, I think fans are kind of wondering, and you hear a bit about it on the recruiting trail. For instance, I think Michigan State, right? We've heard rumblings that Michigan State uses this on the recruiting trail, that this is going to be an issue with him every year, possibly leaving to the NFL. So do you think if he comes back to Michigan, does that noise quiet down quite a bit after this offseason, or is it always going to be this way as long as he's in town?
I think it would quiet down, and it should. Back to the Twitterverse, someone said, why is Michigan got this drama every year? Well, the drama almost every year, not last year when they're 2-4, of course, was entirely generated by the NFL. Jim, in his first 7 years, said not a peep about any of it. I have zero indications that he ever put his hat in the ring or even a feeler out through an agent or anybody about the Colts, you know, Oakland's still in play, blah, 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 blah. The stuff was, you know, when Michigan wins on Saturday and anybody loses on Sunday, all right, Jim is going to one of those teams on Monday. And we've been hearing that for 7 straight years, obviously. And I've always given it zero credence whatsoever. And people say, you know, well, what's the big deal now? Because Jim actually has been at least somewhat interested. Now, how interested and how aggressive he's been, I can't gauge that. How much interest has come back, I've got some gauge in that, but it's hard to say exactly. Mm-hmm. But that is what makes this time around tangibly, fundamentally different. There has been some mutual conversation. And people inside the program will say, you know, they're not sure. You never heard that before. So there's, you know, some measure of doubt. Now, therefore, long way of answering your question, Chris, if he signs a healthy package, and, you know, 5-year deal, whatever else, it's got to be at least 5 years to be effective, I think. Yeah. Then it should simmer down except for the usual NFL noise, but it won't be coming from Harbaugh and it won't be coming from Michigan. So it's, you know, Juwan Howard going to the NBA stuff, which he squashed in a single brief statement. So you're always going to have this white noise so long as Jim is coaching at Michigan. But it won't be like this for the next 3 or 4 years if that's the case. Now, if you're 63, could you still go back to the NFL? Depends on where they stand. But you got to believe if he was serious about it and like Brandon said, I guarantee you, they're gonna, of the 9 coaches hired, 2 will be his equal, maybe, mm-hmm. and 7 will not be.
Yeah.
So I could also ask why Colin Kaepernick's not a quarterback somewhere, but we know that answer too.
Yeah.
I think it would change fundamentally if he came back. And furthermore, as freaked out as Michigan fans are about recruiting and whatnot, Michigan has asked all the recruiting guys, you guys are among them. Michigan gets negative recruited all the time by everybody, no matter what you do. So just take that as a given. That's the way it's going to be. Now there's something on the hook there they can point to, but memories are short. And if he's back in a week or two, none of it's going to count for much.
Yeah. Negative recruiting is a thing. It's always been a thing. It's going to be a thing. And Michigan's always recruited well. That's always been a thing. And it's going to be a thing. I mean, like it's negligible. I think it's there, a little more tangible, like you said, a little more to hang your hat on this time. But I don't know. I don't see it being a big deal in the grand scheme. Last thing, John, I'll get you out of here, man.
Yeah, we're all good. Don't worry about it.
If you're 75-25, 80-20, 90-10, whatever it is, you think Harbaugh's coming back. Okay, we're in a week. We're 2 weeks down the road. He's back. The extension is signed. What kind of a rift is there here with this? Or is there – let me back it up. Is there a rift? And if so, how big? Like, okay, you've got your whole team now, your coaching staff – He's got some new hires to make with the Mike McDonald thing. We'll see if that's official now. It seems like it is, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's going that way. I'm hearing the same thing you're hearing.
How much does this affect what everybody thinks of Harbaugh? Like, okay, it's pretty clear you wanted to leave and you didn't for whatever reason. Maybe an offer didn't come. Maybe it wasn't a good enough offer. Maybe you just got sick. I don't know, but you're back now. Like, do you really want to be here? Like, what are the thoughts from everybody around if he is back at Michigan next year after whatever? What day are we on now, John? 24 after a month?
No, 26.
Okay, there you go. We're near a month.
Start
now.
January 2nd.
So yeah.
Good news for me, thank God. The math is easy. I take the day's date minus one. So even I can track.
There you go.
That'll work.
And the other day I got the, who was it?
Well,
someone missed a field goal and I didn't watch it all the way through. And I put it up. Oh, it was the Rams. That'll teach you to bite you in the ass on the Twitter once again. So I deserve that one.
That math is going to get a little different here as we enter into February. You realize that, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lord help us all.
Yeah.
But I'll say a couple of things. One, I don't know if he necessarily wanted to leave. I do know he wanted to see what's out there. Okay. Doesn't mean, you know, I hate it here. I'm dying to get out. So that certainly changes how easily you can re-enter, that's what we're calling it, into the program. Players, coaches, I don't see any problem whatsoever. Staffers. Fans, I mean, you know my joke about that. Some Michigan fans aren't happy unless they're not happy. They'll complain about something no matter what. But I think 80% will be back on board very quickly. I think it shouldn't go too much longer if I'm Jim. Make a decision either way, but get it settled. I think that'd be my advice to him, which he is not asking for, nor should he. but also say this, in some ways it's been a positive, I think, because the same fans, 70% last year, 80%, quite a lot, were asking for him to leave. They got to realize he's not afraid to look. So maybe be a little nicer next time around. Who knows? I think it's not going to matter a hell of a lot in the long term. Mm-hmm. I am keeping an eye on the Ward Manuel Jim Harbaugh relationship. It has been traditionally a very strong one, I think. A little rocky at first, got it together for 3 or 4 years there in the middle. The last 12 months have probably not helped it, getting a cut in half contract, and now you're trying to get that money back, basically. But they're both pretty even-keeled guys, I think, and they're both very quiet guys. Whatever happens there, I'll be behind closed doors. I won't know about it. That's my strong hunch on that front. So. Might be a bruise, but no blood. There's my short answer.
Okay. All right. And I'm going to ask this because a fan keeps putting it up here. I'm sorry. I've skipped over it a couple times, but I'll be able to see that. The president situation. Is there anything to this? I mean, I think a lot of fans thought that like Jim Harbaugh and President Schlissel fist fought every week. and they would send nasty text messages to each other, which is clearly not what was going on. I think everybody can get on the same page that Schlissel was not like, he's not the most involved in the athletic side of things, and that's fine. I don't think your president really needs to be, but now that he's not the president anymore, Mary Sue Coleman's going to be at least the interim for some amount of time. Is this a factor in any of this? I don't think so, but maybe you'll educate me here.
No, you got it. I would say it's a 5% factor positive towards Harbaugh staying and Ward Manuel more eagerly cutting a deal, but it's a nominal factor. Again, pulling a number out of thin air, 5%. Look, this is the University of Michigan. And whenever people say, you know, oh, 2 years, 3 years ago, Harbaugh's in the hot seat. No, he's not. The vote is 1-0. It's the AD. It's the only vote anyone gets. So here, the president is an observer. At LSU, you pick coaches. They don't do that here.
Yeah.
Which makes it a boring place to cover in some ways, but it makes it also very reliable, very consistent. Schlissel was no great fan of big-time college football. That's not a secret. Mm-hmm. But he certainly knew he had to tolerate it, and he did. Obviously, Jim was making, you know, $8, $9 million before, and he's making $1 million. So you got to swallow your pride as president and eat that one, of course. So Mary Sue Coleman is a very pro-athletics president when it's done the right way, as I think it has been done at Iowa and at Michigan. She's not going to run a football factory by any means. She's going to be there for probably 6 to 9 months, something like that. So it might improve it a little bit, but it's not going to be any kind of big factor. Schlissel was not an impediment before. And anybody who tried to read the tea leaves that the Dr. Anderson case, Harbaugh, and Schlissel was somehow all tied together, they're all unconnected almost entirely. So it's good drama, maybe, but it does not add up to any theories that are worth anything. So it might help 5%. It won't have any real factor, is my guess.
There you have it. I feel smarter, Chris. How about you?
I do. I just, the only thing we haven't asked, which I think is a fitting last question, because it's the one question right now everybody in the fan base wants to know. John, I've said this now for the last 3 weeks that I didn't think it could go on for another week. Look into your crystal ball. Tell us, when can we expect some resolution? It can't go on forever. We know there's got to be resolution at some point. When do you think Michigan fans can expect an answer or a decision or an announcement one way or the other?
You know what? That's a great question. And I'd rather answer his odds coming back than when it's going to be settled. I'll give you 580 on him coming back. When it's going to be settled, again, because he is under contract and he's clearly performing the job full blast and recruiting and everything else. Apparently he's doing squats. We've seen that one. So you can't say he's, you know, mailing it in by any means. So no. He's acting like he's the head coach of the University of Michigan, which he is, and he's under contract. So that just gut reaction, Chris. If you asked me a week ago, I said, oh, it's got to be this week.
Yeah.
The longer it goes, the longer I think I don't know how long it's going to go. Yeah. And it's down to him and Ward, really. And you'd hope on that front, if I'm Ward, I'd want to get this done as soon as possible. I don't know how Ward feels about that, but why would you want this open loop out there, this unfinished business? And you got a basketball team, you got a hockey team. Guess what? They're doing pretty well right now. Hockey team doing great. Yeah. Basketball is on the rebound, no pun intended. And this is still the headlines.
Yeah.
If I'm Ward, I'm just get the damn thing done. And you know what? It's going to cost you a lot of money. You knew that anyway. I mean, the Tucker line is going to be that's established all kinds of stuff. If I'm Jim, you go in there, you know, rolling around your ring. I say, hey, yeah, Tucker had a nice contract. Look what I got.
Yeah, I've said that all along. The leverage thing that got thrown out there. I'm like, the leverage was the freaking season he just had. That's all the leverage he needs. He's going to get paid by somebody. So yeah, somebody's got to pay him.
And Brandon Jeter, the leverage of the season and nothing else.
Yeah.
12 he doesn't need anything beat else. Beat the Buckeyes, beat Iowa, got to the final game, crushed.
Yeah. Oh, did we lose Johnny right there? Might have lost him, Chris.
Might have.
Is he frozen on your end too?
Yeah, frozen on my end too.
All right, I'm going to take him out of the studio if I see him come back to
there he is.
He's got there we go. I don't know what the hell that was.
All right, all good.
See, the conspiracy theory.
They're monitoring. Right, they're listening. Who's that?
And that's when Harbaugh's going to sign. You guys all get that?
Just got a text message. There it is. No, that's
there it is. So all the contact details. Can't repeat it. Sorry.
One time and one time only. So hopefully everybody out there heard John Bacon. He just told us when it's happening, what the terms are, and also how long he's staying. And Jim also
that he's yep. gonna win. Can't say it again though.
There you go. Sorry,
John. Thank you so much for the time. Hey, you said 10 or 15. It was 25. I love it.
Chris, to answer your question, I bet I'm talking to you next week.
I look forward to it.
There you go. John, thanks so much. Guys. Really thanks. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks, sir. All right. Well, I knew it was going to be awesome. Like I said, I've talked to John a lot of different times over the years when I was at the Wolverine. He's known Chris Ballas and John Borton, those guys, for a long time. So when I worked there, we rode around Chicago together for the Big Ten media days, and I would pop in and talk to John about different things. I've talked to him in the press box a bunch of times. As he said, we've been messaging a little bit more often over these last couple weeks, given all this crazy stuff that's going on. And my goodness, dude, that guy knows his stuff. I was going to ask him at the very beginning if he called himself an insider, because he's not really like a day-to-day like website. You know, he's on Twitter. He's an author. He's got the books. He's been a professor at Michigan before. I wondered kind of how he viewed himself, but one of the first things he said was, I talk to six or so people every single day. That's an insider, dude. That's as good of an insider as you've got. He's been doing it for a really long time. Again, if you've never read his books before, they're incredible. Just the amount of information and detail that goes into them. And like I said, he's so good at getting information and bringing stuff up and delivering it to people in a way that they can understand, because in a book, that's it. You put it down, it's down. Online, you throw a tweet out, let me scrap that and try again. You know, we write an article, we can go in and edit it, we can amend it, we can fix things, we can observe and react on different ways, and you can't do that in a book, man. So you got to be spot on all the time, and I feel like John Bacon is spot on all the time. So that was awesome, man. Did anything in particular, I kind of dominated it there, so I apologize, Chris, if you had a bunch of stuff lined up for him, but no. I also didn't want to keep him forever, but I could have asked him 50 more questions. I mean, I really could have, so yeah. Appreciate him coming on for as long as he did. What stood out to you, you know, that he just said, or maybe something that cleared things up a little more than you thought going in?
Well, I think the main thing that stuck out to me, you know, above and beyond just the information he gave, was the way that he approaches things. It's really nice and refreshing to have a civil conversation with somebody about what's happening and what the different options are, and to, you know, to look at realistic options and to be able to have that. And I think, you know, John's a good resource for people out there that are looking for accurate information, but he's not going to shape it to make everybody feel good. If he feels a certain way, he's going to say how he feels. And I think that's really how it should be done. And so again, he came on and basically confirmed, you know, pretty much what we already knew, which is, you know, Jim is taking a serious look at the NFL, and it looks like this might be his best shot to do it. Not really sure what the interest level is in the NFL, but I think you can read the tea leaves that if there was an NFL franchise that wanted Jim Harbaugh yesterday, they would have him yesterday. And so I think he's going to continue to drag this thing out for as long as he can to see what offers come in. And if they don't, I think he will happily come back to Michigan. And that's the way things are trending. I don't know, man. It was a solid interview. He kind of, you know, it's very black and white with him. There's not a lot of speculation. He just kind of tells you what it is, and that's it.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, maybe it's just because he's been around for so long and he's just a super smart dude. Like, when he delivers something, it just seems to make a lot of sense. Like, you hear a lot of people say the same types of things he said. I mean, us included. And I think he just did it better than even what we, you know, our back and forth. He just has a way of kind of delivering that information and saying, you know, Jim's happy, but he would look, and he would go back to the NFL maybe if the situation was right. But look, back at Michigan is completely happy as well. And I think just laying it out that way, where, and it's what I've said, and for whatever reason, a lot of people can't get to that conclusion. They just can't understand, as a Michigan fan, both things can be true. Completely yeah. happy at Michigan, completely content at Michigan, while still being very intrigued and interested in the NFL for the right opportunity. That's a completely rational and normal way to approach something if you're a human being in any arena, not just at Michigan and NFL and, you know, that kind of a high, you know, like a high platform. It could be the same for you and I in any job we've ever had.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy with what I'm doing, but let me look over here, because why not? And that doesn't necessarily mean that he would take any NFL job. I think that's very clear too. Like,
sure,
maybe my language has been a little too strong, that he would go, or that he definitely wants out. I think he would only be out if it was like the perfect scenario. But it's clear that that interest is very real. I mean, John did not mince his words at all.
And I think that's probably the biggest takeaway, because you still have a segment of the fan base that doesn't believe that, you know, Jim has any interest in the NFL whatsoever. And that's just simply not true. So there's an interest there. There's a reason why he hasn't signed the deal that's been put forward by Michigan. And the reason is he's taking a look at the NFL. But I think Michigan fans got to feel pretty confident that we're 26 days into this thing and there's not a deal done with an NFL team. And so the longer this goes on, I think it becomes more and more likely that it comes back to Michigan. And I always thought he would come back to Michigan, just because I couldn't imagine it ending on this note and in this way.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, there's no doubt about it that if you're a head coach, if you're someone who's as passionate about Michigan as Jim Harbaugh is, that coming back and keeping the wave going and keeping that momentum moving is, you know, I can't imagine how strong of a pull that is. Whether you love the NFL or the opportunity to be in the NFL or the chance to chase the Super Bowl, I can't imagine how strong of a pull it must be to also come back to Michigan after the season that he just had. I'm totally with you on that, Chris. It's just that there's a lot of other very practical reasons as to why now with the NFL. John mentioned him. He's 58 years old. Can you do it at 63? Maybe. But he said it. There is a huge youth movement in the NFL. There's not a lot of, like, you know, 58, 60, 62 year old dudes getting hired. Everybody's trying to give that young guy, that young wunderkind, a chance to come in and be the next Sean McVay or Matt LaFleur or, you know, Kyle Shanahan or who, you know.
And to your point, he's not just going to take any job that becomes available. Right. Harbaugh's not going to want to go into more than likely a rebuild situation. So again, you have, you know, NFL franchise owners that want their head coaches to get younger, you know, more up to speed and faster offenses and all this shit. And it just doesn't seem like Jim Harbaugh fits that bill. So, and you kind of got that sense from Bacon that if it doesn't happen this year, and we've talked about it a lot, this kind of feels like the closest it's gotten. He said, hey, years 1 through 6, didn't pay attention to it because I didn't think there was anything there. This year, you know, there's definitely something to it. So I think fans just, you know, again, trending back to Michigan, but it was never a sure thing. It was never a sure thing. And I think a lot of people out there just thought that it was always going to be Michigan.
And Tim, listen, man, you are not alone, sir. if Jim Harbaugh wants to come back, it sure doesn't seem that way. You're not alone. And it just kind of depends on how strongly you want to feel that way, because how strongly you want to take the facts, because as John just said, as we've been saying for a while, the NFL interest is real. It is 100% unequivocally for sure real. Jim Harbaugh is interested in going to the NFL.
That well, he mentioned communication with the Vikings, right? I didn't even know that had taken place. So, you know, John U. Bacon has said, and I don't know, it's obviously been recent, but there has been communication between Harbaugh and or the people representing him in whatever capacity that might be. So there are still talks going on as of now, and that should tell you something. If those conversations are still taking place, this thing is not a done deal.
Yeah, and he mentioned the Broncos. I was told that as soon as Vic Fangio was fired, I was told that Jim Harbaugh and his camp reached out to the Broncos to gauge interest there. The Giants has also received a little noise. Jumbo Elliott, who is a Michigan legend and basically royalty with the Giants, he mentioned that Harbaugh had been in contact out there. So it's not even just one team. It's multiple teams have gotten some feelers from Harbaugh and at least had some level of discussion. Is that a phone call with Jim directly? Is it a couple correspondents between his legal team? Is it a Zoom? We don't know. I mean, Jim Harbaugh can go into his house in Ann Arbor right now, sit down with his phone and be talking to all of these people. I don't know if he's doing that. I don't know how that works, but that's the reality of how easy this thing could be when you're talking about a quick discussion or gauging some interest. I'm not talking formal interview, but it's really that simple. And Chris, you made a great point. With as normal as all this kind of stuff has become over the last 2 years, the Zoom stuff and not being in person with somebody, I mean, it's not even weird anymore. Like 5 years ago, you wouldn't do any of that stuff. It would have to be an in-person thing. Now it's like, well, we can do it. I'm sitting right here in my den. Yeah, I'm sitting right here on my couch. Let's do it. Let's have a chat.
Well, I think
any of that stuff is happening, but it's clear that at least how many teams would that be then? Raiders, Broncos, Vikings, at least four. Four for sure that there's been some back and forth, I think, at this point. And that's one of the most trustworthy dudes you can find in that information in John Bacon saying that.
Yeah, and I think CJ makes a good point from the Facebook page. And for anybody that might be mad about Jim Harbaugh leaving, I do think it's less about, you know, Jim possibly wanting to leave Michigan and just more about that itch he still has to scratch in the NFL. I don't think it's, you know, how he feels or doesn't feel about Michigan. I think if anything, it's his love for Michigan that's probably making it a difficult decision, and it's going to be a unique situation to pull him away. But at the end of the day, he's got stuff left to accomplish in both areas. Like 2021 was a great season, but that wasn't the top of the college football mountain. And so there are still things to accomplish here at Michigan. And it's just a matter of, you know, which itch is going to be bigger. And it sounds like that NFL itch, that, you know, getting so close to the Super Bowl win, it sounds like that's something that still resonates with him and lingers with him, which is why there's been so many conversations with different NFL franchises.
CJ, I'm going to put your question up, and I don't know the answer for sure. Why is it that Jim is just at the conversation stage, but all other candidates are interviewing? Are those one-sided conversations? I don't know that for sure. I know, based on what I was told beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Jim Harbaugh initiated the contact with the Raiders and with the Broncos. John Bacon said that there's some conversation that's taken place with the Vikings. I don't know who did that. I don't know what direction that was in. Same thing with the Giants. I don't know what direction that was in. I'm confident in saying that Jim may have initiated contact between the Raiders and the Broncos. So why there's not a formal interview yet with Jim Harbaugh, if it even gets to that point, you know, depending on who you believe. I mean, Sam Webb even said it last week on his radio show with John Bacon that if the Raiders offered him the job, he would take it. And so if you believe that Jim Harbaugh will take your offer if you make him one, there's really no rush to bring him in and do all this stuff and get an interview out of the way and do that and do this. You can wait till the end and bring him in.
Especially, I mean, especially if he's willing to wait, because he's already under contract and he's got a new one waiting. Yeah.
You're not really battling toe to toe with anybody else necessarily. Again, if you believe that Jim Harbaugh would take the Raiders job if offered, they don't need to hurry. They don't need to fly him out today right away to do an interview if they think they can get him whenever they want him. I don't know. I felt that way from the beginning, and Sam Webb just said it on the radio last week. So, you know, and John Macon just said that, you know, there's real interest there, and it would have to be the right situation. I don't know, man. It sounds like it's still possible, even though he maybe did shift down some lists a little bit. But it's also different when it's NFL to NFL versus NFL to college. Like, the what you actually have to do in order, like, you have to announce that you're interviewing somebody from another NFL team. You don't have to do that with a college guy. Now, apparently there's a clause in Jim Harbaugh's contract that he has to tell Ward, but I don't know if that would ever, I don't know if that would ever become public knowledge until, I don't know, maybe somebody saw him get off the plane in Vegas and walk into the facility. I don't really know how that would work.
And I wonder if, because there is that clause in the contract that he has to discuss that or report that to Ward, if that's why everybody involved has gone out of their way to be tight-lipped on this thing.
Yeah.
Because even John said it when he was on. He's like, you know, this is unique that both sides involved have been this tight-lipped in a situation like this. And I wonder if it's because John or Jim had to disclose that he's going through those interviews. And if somebody talks to Ward, that's going to be the question. You know, it's going to be obvious that he's interviewing with NFL teams, especially if Ward knows about it. So again, I go back to the fact that this is real. And if he ultimately comes back to Michigan, it's not because the NFL was never part of the equation. It's right. Because whatever the NFL was offering wasn't good enough to get him out of Michigan.
Or didn't offer.
Whatever they did or didn't offer wasn't good enough to take him away from Michigan. Like, both things can be true. That doesn't mean he hated Michigan and didn't want to be here. That also doesn't mean that he didn't want the NFL or was never serious or only using it as leverage. And I think people got to get out of this mindset that it's one or the other. You look on social media, everybody's dug in. You can see it in the comments. He's coming back. There's no doubt about it. I think he's leaving. And everybody sort of dug into this side, and it's like, it could be one or the other, and nobody knows. That's the thing. Still, at this point in the game, 26 days out, nobody knows.
Yeah. Just great stuff. Great stuff from Johnny Bacon, man. Like, yeah. I said, I talked to him a bunch of times, probably never that long and that uninterrupted in terms of just back and forth one-on-one, basically.
Well, I'm surprised he even came on after you tried to get him arrested at Michigan Stadium. Did you make up for that? Did you talk to him about that, by the way?
Nope, and I'm not going to, because I just don't even – I don't want to
do it.
And not one of my prouder moments, I don't think. I can't really remember it, only from what I've been told.
You seem proud.
Clearly he doesn't hate me. I mean, you know, he doesn't hate me as a person in this industry, and he doesn't hate me as the belligerent drunk outside of the stadium for the Indiana game. There you go.
That much we know.
That much we know. That is a fact. That is a fact. But I could have asked him 100 more questions. He's just really good, man. He's been doing it a long time, and he knows what he's talking about. And I out of all the people in the industry, and this is not a shot at anybody, this is not to disparage anybody else, if I hear it from John Bacon, I'm damn near taking that to the bank.
Yeah.
And even he said he's shifted to 75-25 or maybe 80-20. That he still doesn't know. He just feels like that's where it is. He's not making a prediction per se. He just says, based on the information he's gathered, maybe what he's hearing or not hearing from the NFL side, what he's hearing, what he's not hearing from the Michigan side, that's where he feels. I would put it much closer to 50-50. I still think the way that this is like 60-40, I'd still give Michigan the edge at this point, but I, you know, without the Raiders having hired anybody, they just interviewed Ed Dodds yesterday, and apparently that went pretty well. But until they make a hiring as the general manager, and then you can kind of connect the dots after that. If they hire Ed Dodds as the general manager, the Jim Harbaugh odds going to the Raiders goes way up. If they hire Dave Ziegler, it's pretty much a wrap. It's going to be Josh McDaniels. It's going to be the Patriot connection, and that's going to be it. And then it's going to be, you know, does Jim Harbaugh just say, all right, that was pretty much it. You know, there's been some interest with the Vikings, maybe a little bit with the Broncos and Giants. But it was all about the Raiders, Michigan it is. I don't know. I don't know if that's how we're going to see it play out. When there's other teams involved, I wonder a little bit. I mean, does Stephen Ross say, look, man, he clearly wants the NFL. I'm not going to sit by and just let this happen and let him go somewhere else. Let me get a little bit more involved. I don't know, man. That's why nobody knows, because there's so much fluidity and so many moving parts with this thing. And, you know, coaches are kind of just now getting hired, like today. The spots are just now starting to fill up as of today. The Bears have made a hire. Somebody else made a hire. Who else made a hire? Was there one other one? There's been some general manager hires. I know the Bears hired a general manager and a coach now. Anyway, moving parts, lots going on. We'll see. Will we know in a week? Chris, will we know in a week?
Here's the thing, and Adam hit the nail on the head. Yeah, we're tired of talking about it, Adam. It's this conversation, like, but you know what the harsh reality is? Like, people can say they're tired of talking about it and they don't want to hear it and they don't want to discuss it. But we've talked about this before. The numbers are very clear that people are very interested in what's going on with this. And unfortunately, until a decision's made, it's just going to be the topic of conversation. And John even said it when he was on the interview. You know, the basketball team is starting to pick up things a little bit and other things are going on. And this is just dominating the news cycle because everybody wants an answer. And so until that happens, unfortunately, I think that's just the way it's going to be. But we've also talked about this a little bit. I think people pay close attention to the timelines because it sounds like maybe the Raiders are getting close to possibly doing something from a GM standpoint. And so if you start to see maybe some of these positions being filled or you see some definitive answers in the NFL with certain jobs and you get an answer out of Ann Arbor, just pay attention to the timelines because I think in hindsight, that'll probably paint a pretty clear picture. If, for instance, the Raiders head coaching job is filled on Monday and the Jim Harbaugh announcement comes out of Ann Arbor Tuesday or Wednesday.
And right? I think
you can draw some safe assumptions from that.
I think you can make just the same kind of assumptions if it goes the other way.
The other way.
Harbaugh is plugged into the NFL. His brother's a coach there. He's got connections all over the place. His network is vast. And I mean, like, if we're getting little tidbits of information, certainly Jim Harbaugh is going to get them. So if he finds out, you know what? The Raiders is over. There's no way they're bringing me in. I'm not even going to get an interview. Let me sign this deal. And he signs his deal on a Monday, and the next day the Raiders hire their coach. That's not going to be a coincidence. Not going to be a coincidence. So I agree with you. Pay attention to that timeline and see how it goes. And yes, thank you for those people out there. The Broncos, which, whatever. I'm an NFL geek. The Broncos made a hire. They took the offensive coordinator from the Packers, which means that Aaron Rodgers is going to the Broncos. There it is. I said it. All right. It's going to be an interesting thing all across the board.
Is that breaking news?
No. I just think that's what's going to happen. And they've been mentioned that the Broncos had been mentioned as a place for Aaron Rodgers to go before they even made a hire from the Packers organization. So that's just another tea leaf, another domino to watch. Anyway, Chris, I'm going to ask you a question real quick, and I'm going to see. Do you have anything that you can talk about for maybe a minute to a minute and a half on your own? Because right as John Bacon was getting ready to leave, I opened my beverage, and it exploded all over the place over here. And so now I need to do a slight cleanup here before I can really settle in for the last 15 or 20 here. Do you have anything? Do you have a soapbox, a big question?
60 seconds?
Yeah,
I don't think so. If I would have known that was going to happen, I wouldn't have taken the edibles before I hopped on. I would have known you were going to give me the spotlight.
Let me see. All right, I'm going to give you the spotlight right now, Chris. Michigan basketball is now on a 3-game winning streak and is going to the Breslin Center on Saturday. I want you to spitball how important these 3 wins are. Okay, they beat Maryland, trash, Indiana on home. On their home court, amazing win, and then scraped one together last night against Northwestern. I think really Chris says don't do it in a private comment section. I'm putting that out there. I'm airing the dirty laundry. Just give me a few of your takes, man. I'll be right back.
You want my take on the basketball win? I haven't been watching basketball.
Takes on basketball, maybe a little bit of spitballing about what we might see on Saturday. How big of a deal is this Michigan State basketball rivalry when you've got all this Harbaugh stuff going around? I'm not a talker. I don't know what to say.
Well, here's what I might do. We'll talk a little bit of basketball, but then I'm going to go into like a really interesting event that we have coming up. So as far as the basketball team is concerned, CJ, I will not be singing you a song, at least not now. I prefer to do duets. And so if anybody wants to join me, feel free to hop in. But as far as the basketball team is concerned, I mean, look, they're getting hot. They're going to go into the Breslin on Saturday. Obviously, there's a heated rivalry that's there. And I think, you know, prior to these last 3 games, nobody was giving Michigan a shot. Brandon and I talked about it. When you looked at the remainder of their schedule, and I think at the time they were 7-7, there wasn't any single game on there that looked like it was going to be a sure thing for Michigan. And now it seems like they've found a bit of a rhythm. You know, they're putting the ball in the hole. I think Caleb Houston's playing a little bit better. I know there's questions about Brandon Johns Jr., but man, I think if this basketball team can get into a rhythm and rip off five or six wins, now all of a sudden you're talking about maybe a different look when it comes in, when it comes to March. So I'm excited for Saturday. I'm you know, I think that it'll be a competitive game, and hopefully you, I'm watching you assholes in the comment section too, so it's distracting me a little bit, but hopefully they pull out the W. So flipping gears a little bit, I do want to talk a little bit. We've been promoting it on the Facebook page, and obviously Brand's been promoting it on Twitter. We've been promoting it on Instagram. We got a really cool interview coming up, man. It started off, we were originally just going to interview JJ McCarthy, and then that sort of blossomed into, well, you know, let's bring on some more of the true freshmen that got a lot of experience during that 2021 season, and you know, talk to them. What was your experience like in 2021? And talk about some of those big plays and what things, you know, look like for 2022. I mean, you look at a kid like JJ McCarthy and you think about the situation he's stepping into in 2022. He's a highly rated kid. He paid his dues in 2021. He got on the field a little bit, but there was no consistency. I don't even know if he played a full series in 2021. So he's going to expect to get some minutes on the field. I think he's going to expect that this is going to be his job. And you've also got a guy there, Cade McNamara, who, by the way, just beat Ohio State, helped your team win a Big Ten championship. And so this quarterback battle going into the offseason is going to be so interesting. And to be able to sit with JJ and talk with him about that and kind of get his feedback on that, that's going to be must-see TV. And then, again, Andrel made big, big plays during 2021. Donovan Edwards, I mean, the pass in the Big Ten championship game and the role that he played with the team. This is the future. This is the future of the Michigan football offense. And to have all these guys on at one time and be able to chop it up with them, I think it's going to be one hell of a discussion. So keep your eyes out for that. We're going to try to get it up and running in February. That's the tentative plan right now. God damn, did I fill that space beautifully or what?
Terry, thank you so much for catching the Vince Vaughn reference from Old School. I'm not a talker. And then he proceeds to give one of the best speeches of all time. Look, I'm super excited about this opportunity to talk to these three guys. Props to Chris for kind of spearheading this thing and getting it lined up and pulling some strings to get this thing done. We don't know the exact day, right? I didn't hear all of what you said. Did you give a timeline?
The plan is for it to release it in February. And so we'll come up with some additional details about how and when that's going to be released. But like I said, you know, these guys, thanks, Mom. See, look at that's the kind of support and endorsement I need. The endorsement from your mother is about as good as it gets. But to have all these guys in the same room to be able to sit down and chop it up with them, I just, you know, this is part of the beauty of the new era of NIL is that we can bring you content like this, and now we have access to these guys. So hopefully you enjoy it, man. I think it's going to be quite the production.
So in the comments, go ahead and give us give Chris a rating 1 through 10.
Give me a rating. I'm not a superstar, you know?
Joseph. So yes, it is going to be pre-recorded. This won't be a live deal. We're going to put a lot more effort into the production than we normally do. I mean, like, you know, we're not trying to out here win an Oscar or anything, but we want to have a multiple camera thing where we can get some different things, splice some things together. So I don't know. Did we want to tease how we're going to do it?
Here's what I'll say. It's, you know, think of, you know, some sort of, you know, you've seen him on ESPN, a sit down interview. We're going to get some B roll. The guys are going to get a bit of a workout in. And so you guys are going to get a little bit of everything. And, you know, that's about all I want to give them at this point.
Not the tease that we might go into a little bit. The other day.
Depend. Oh, well, no, let's keep all that. Let's keep all that in the treasure.
We'll wait. I saw a good question up here. I wanted to pull it out. Ryan Brown
gave me a four out of 10. Yeah.
And now I'm giving him the floor to ask a question. So I like this guy. I like this guy.
From the Facebook page, no less.
Is Harbaugh in conversation with Larry Foote for DC? A night or two ago, I was told that Jim Harbaugh did contact Larry Foote for the defensive coordinator position, which was pretty much a giveaway that Mike McDonald is going to take the position with the Raiders, but that the odds are the favorite scenario is that Larry Foote will go with Byron Leftwich to Jacksonville, if that's how that plays out. Now, Jacksonville hasn't hired a coach yet, but Byron Leftwich is kind of a legend there. He's obviously got the chops for it. He's been the OC with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was on that staff last year with Tom Brady that won a Super Bowl, another really good year for Brady this year. So I mean, Leftwich is in line to be interviewing for some of these jobs, and it makes a lot of sense for him to go down to Jacksonville, another young quarterback there with a lot of talent. He can kind of work with him, bring him along. Larry Foote looks like he might be tabbed to be Byron Leftwich's defensive coordinator. So it doesn't sound like he's going to be coming to Michigan, but I think at one point Larry Foote has said that he would come back to Michigan if given the opportunity. So I don't know. We'll see. But I think I've been told from somebody that's in the know with the Foote family, the Foote clan, that's awesome, that he would more than likely stay in the NFL. But we'll see. You know, we'll see. Like all this stuff, man. I mean, guys are – this is their livelihood. They're figuring out what their families might want to do, what the contract's looking like, how stable are things, where would they be, who would they be with. It's a lot more than just pick your favorite team and go. Like, that's how so many fans want to think about it. It's just not – that's just not how it works. So, yeah, we'll see. I see a lot of people also asking about Mike Elston and what that means for him. I don't know. I don't know because Steve Klinkscale was on the team, was on the roster, on the staff last year as the cornerbacks coach with the opportunity to get co-defensive coordinator added to his title. If you suddenly just do away with that, or now there's a DC position open and you bring in a new guy who just got here last week and now he's the guy along with Klinkscale. I don't know how that plays out. I don't know what they might do. If Mike McDonald truly leaves, which it sounds like he's going to, all signs are pointing to that, then, you know, does Jim Harbaugh want to promote from within and fill one of the other positions, or is he going to go out there and try to find a stud replacement at defensive coordinator? It's big. Chris, you talked about it earlier. Chris and I got together today earlier, by the way. Chris gave me a gift, man. What a nice guy this Chris Breiler is. Got together and sat on 2x4 hardwood stainless steel chairs at Chipotle and got a little meal real quick. Anyway, you said it, though, man. How different is this defense going to be next year when you're talking about like 8 or 9 new dudes and a new DC? I mean, that's
– You want to be – hopeful, and you want, you know, but you look at what they're losing after, you know, a relatively successful year. And again, it's, you know, Daxton Hill, David Ojabo, Aiden Hutchinson, Brad Hawk. I mean, you go down the list, Chris Hinton. And then, oh, by the way, you're also losing Mike McDonald, who, you know, spent the last year basically coaching up this defensive scheme. And so I am concerned about the defense. And I think this parlays into that conversation. I think it makes an interesting point when you look at the quarterback battle. If nothing significant changes with this defense, or they have the kind of fall off that maybe you would expect after so much turnover, this Michigan offense is going to need to score points. They're going to have to go out and put the ball in the end zone. And I think when you're looking at two quarterbacks that can do that, JJ probably gives you the best chance to do that. That's the most, I don't know, potent offensive quarterback or offensive option that you have. And so to me, every defensive piece that they lose just reassures that JJ is probably going to take that starting spot come next fall.
That's an interesting angle. That is an interesting angle. This, you know, the game manager, you know, I've always felt that way. Put your guy in there who could score you the most points. That's football now. I mean, look at the NFL, man. The quarterbacks are, they run the show. They run the entire show. And it's that way in college in a lot of ways as well. Caleb Williams might be going to Wisconsin. That would certainly be interesting. Have you heard that, Chris? Have you seen that?
I did see that. That's a little bit little concerning.
Yeah. So I don't know. Anyway, it's just going to be a completely new look. It's going to be a completely new look. I mean, when you lose a guy who seemed to have his fingerprints all, I mean, the defense was just night and day difference this year from last year. When you put on the tape and look at what Mike McDonald was able to do. Yeah. Having two first round pass rushers doesn't hurt. I mean, but the fact is it's all gone. Doesn't matter why, doesn't matter how, it's gone. So now you got to fix it. You got to change things up. I don't know. I don't know what the answer would be. If you bring in a brand new person to run your defense, how much of that chemistry and that staff camaraderie do you lose? That was clearly a big part of what they did this year. And if you promote a guy like Steve Klinkscale, or you put Mike Elston in there to kind of figure it out, that's still a lot of changes. Neither one of them have done that job before. And I know Mike McDonald was the same way, but you know, I think if you give someone a job for the first time ever and expect it to be awesome every time, I think you're setting yourself up for failure a little bit. So it's just, I don't care which way it goes. It's going to be it's going to be incredibly different. And that makes for a lot of intrigue and certainly a lot of interesting things to talk about. But Chris, you and I talked about this before. It's really hard to talk about all this stuff until we have some finality with Jim Harbaugh. Cause it's just, even if you think he's definitely coming back, it's still hard to really launch in to what the specifics and the depth and the detail might look like next year when you've got that cloud kind of hanging over your head.
And you know that all of the thinking and work that you're doing could be invalid 30 yeah. seconds later, because that's how quickly this stuff can change. And so, yeah, that goes back to, I forget who said it in the comment section, but you know, it's not like, you know, you and I are in a basement somewhere trying to figure out how we can generate clickbait to make thousands of dollars on shitty articles. You know, it's just, unfortunately, this is where we're at, and you have to speculate a little bit. But again, the numbers are clear. People want to know what's happening with Jim Harbaugh, and I think we just need some resolution on it before everybody loses their mind.
Yeah.
It's getting scary out there.
Yeah, CJ, this is a really interesting question when you talk about the timeline about what might happen. I mean, obviously, Harbaugh hired Mike Elston, and that was viewed as a big hire. I mean, you're talking about a veteran guy with a really good reputation and had an opportunity to take multiple other jobs, including one with LSU this year, just a couple weeks before he left to go to Michigan. So that's not quite the same as hiring a coordinator, but it's still a big deal. And it just gets a little more interesting because Mike Elston could be a DC. He's got the chops and the resume to certainly get a look as a defensive coordinator. There's no doubt about it. So that adds another level of intrigue to it. I don't know. I think the longer this thing goes, the harder it gets for Jim Harbaugh to say, I need someone to run my defense. And then immediately that person's gonna be like, well, you didn't even sign your contract yet, bro. Like, what are you doing here? Right. With Elston, it was a little different. It's a lateral move in terms of his position. It's returning to his alma mater. It's a little different. As soon as that news came out, which that's like 2 weeks ago now at this point. As soon as that news came out, I tweeted it and said, this is not a guarantee, but it does seem to be an indicator of what Jim Harbaugh might be doing. And now here we are like 2 or 3 weeks later. And I'm like, well, maybe not. I don't know. But when you make a big hire like that, it did seem to have some legs that like, all right, he probably feels okay about Harbaugh coming back, but even if he wasn't, I don't think it would have been the deciding factor. I think he was ready for a change of scenery. You know, he'd been with Brian Kelly for so long. He kind of got overlooked and passed over by Marcus Freeman. As good a time as any to take a new job and do something a little different. I remember Brian said it pretty clearly. He's like, look, he's got young kids in school. Going from South Bend to Baton Rouge, a little different than South Bend to Ann Arbor. So yeah. There's a lot of things there, but I mean, your original question, I don't know. I don't know how anybody can answer that at this point. You know, is he going to try to fill that DC job before he signs his contract or vice versa? You know, sign the contract. I don't know. To me, it makes the most sense to sign the deal, then go get your DC. But he hired Elston before signing his deal. So it can be done. I think both of them seem pretty realistic at this point, but I have no idea. I mean, Chris, I mean, if it was you, what would you do?
I would sign my deal first and then make a decision on my DC. I just think that's, you know, if you're announcing or making a DC hire and you still haven't signed on the dotted line, it just, to me, it seems ass backwards. I just think at some point you got to get a deal done. And I think John said it when we had him on, you know, if you're Ward, if you're the University of Michigan, if you're Jim Harbaugh, at some point in time, you've got to come to a decision. And again, I'm sitting here on a Friday looking at next week saying it can't possibly go beyond next week, but it very well could, given what we just talked about.
Is it Friday? It's Thursday. Thursday.
Is it Thursday?
Yeah. Remember we shifted over because of the basketball game.
So. Oh, that's right. That's right. Right. Okay.
I was like, whoa, is it Friday?
Yeah, that's the only way I can keep track of my days. What is when, days we're on the live. So when we don't do the live, I'm like, I'm lost.
I know. I'm trying to think. Well, I had a whole sheet of notes written out, but I spilled my drink on them and had to throw them in the trash. So I can't remember if there's anything we needed to talk about. Basketball real quick. I'm excited about the Michigan State game. A week ago, I would have said Michigan's got no shot in that one. Now they've got a great shot. They just beat an Indiana team that was 12-0 at home by damn near 20 points. Yeah. So I'm excited to see how that one goes. You start to string some wins together. Michigan officially on a winning streak at this point. Players are more confident. Coaches feel better about what they're doing. Everybody's stepping into their role a little bit better. We'll see, man. I'm excited. I kind of wish I was going to that game on Saturday, but I decided to not go. But anyway, should be a lot of fun. Michigan State's playing well, too. They have only lost 4 games on the season. Michigan State's 15-4, but one of the teams they've lost 2 of their last 3, and one of the teams they just lost to was that same Northwestern team at the Breslin Center that just gave Michigan fits last night. So I think this will be a good game, man. Both teams are going to certainly be fired up. Obviously, there's going to be some shit talking going on a little bit because of the ducking. Oh, they ducked us the first time. Now we get them on our home court. That's neither here nor there, but it's going to be fired up no matter what. It always is between those two teams. And Michigan's playing better now. At least you should be able to go into the game and think, like, Michigan can get it done.
Sure. Whereas, like you said, you weren't there. Yeah, you weren't there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it just felt like – I mean, I'm never going to say I don't enjoy watching Michigan basketball, but there were times where I'm like, God, man, I hope they play better tonight. God, I just hope they play better tonight. And now they are. And so that sets up for a fun one on Saturday in East Lansing. What else was on that list, man? We had like 5 times. Oh, real quick, Sammy Faustin. Sammy Faustin has entered the transfer portal. You know, it's another situation where Michigan's got a loaded DB class coming in. He's a kid who bounced around from corner to safety to corner to safety, never really found his footing. He played in 9 games. He's made 2 tackles in 4 years. More power to him. Hope he finds a place where he can play. He's a long kid. He can really run. I went and saw him when he was in high school, and he was actually hurt the game that I went and saw him down in Naples, Florida. But even on a bum ankle, he was flying around. You could tell he was fast. You could see the length. You could see the range. So this is just another instance of a kid leaving, hoping to find some playing time because he wasn't getting any, and he wasn't going to get any. And that's just a fact of the matter. That's not a dig on the kid. It just wasn't going to happen. They've got 2 corners coming back that he hasn't been able to play ahead of. They've got 2 safeties coming back that he wasn't able to play ahead of, and a very loaded recruiting class with a lot of talent in it at both safety and corner. So there you go. Sammy Faustin, best of luck. Greener pastures hopefully await you somewhere else, but that was one of the news items. And then, Chris, give me your take. Michigan picked up commitments from 2 preferred walk-ons today. Thoughts? In the big scheme of what Michigan's doing, Jim Harbaugh,
not that impactful. I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier. To compete with, you know, we saw what happened in the college football playoff, right? There's still a bit. You can talk about scheme, you can talk about whatever you want, but I think there's still a bit of a talent gap between where Michigan is and where those top tier teams are, and you're not going to get there by signing PWOs. Now, look. I know that anything can happen with these kids. They can turn into be something, and you know, it can be special, but you just can't bank on that. So my gut feeling is, like, I know the one kid is out of Detroit, excited for him, happy for him. He grew up a Michigan fan. It sounds like he's got a pretty cool deal there, a pretty good offer. But at the end of the day, it's not a big splash.
The kid you are referring to is Josh Nichols. He plays at Loyola Catholic High School in Detroit, and he was set to commit to Purdue, but because he's a Detroit kid, he can get his tuition paid for at Michigan, so he's basically a preferred walk-on, but with a full ride. So that's a great deal for him. He's a Michigan fan. He grew up in the state, has an opportunity to go to U of M and basically do it for free, and so why the hell wouldn't you do that? So easy to pull for a kid like that, but yeah, not all that indicative of whatever might happen. I mean, there's uncertainty with the defense. There's uncertainty with who could potentially be his position coach if you decide to move Clink or if you decide to move Ron Bellamy somewhere else since you've got an opening to fill. And then the same thing with Mike McDonald being on his way out. But it's an awesome thing for him.
Hold on. So you were asking if the fact that he signed was an indication of what was happening with Harbaugh?
Just kind of in general. I mean, all the stuff that's going on. Harbaugh, maybe Mike McDonald's leaving. If McDonald leaves, does that mean Clink Scale moves to another position? Now that you've got some staff flexibility, I mean, you could in theory move Ron Bellamy to a wide receivers coach and try to bring somebody else in to coach the safeties, or you could move Clink Scale from where he's at to DC. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do now at this point is what I'm saying. And with some of that uncertainty, I just think that the genesis of this was that people were dumbasses on Twitter were grabbing this preferred walk-on commitment and sending it to me as in like, see, Harbaugh's not leaving. I'm like, bro, if you think a preferred walk-on picking Michigan is any indicator of what Jim Harbaugh is going to do, I got some beachfront property in Idaho for you, bro, because you are a dumb ass. But I digress. It's still awesome for the kid. Great for him. I believe the other kid was an offensive lineman. I'm trying to find it right now. But, yeah, I mean, you've got to have a good preferred walk-on program if you're at a big-time school because they provide great depth. They're great bodies in the off weeks and for the scout team. And every once in a while, you get a dude like an Andrew Vistardis, or you get a Kovacs, or you get multiple what the hell were those kids' names? The Glasgows. You get a whole slew of Glasgows to come in. And they provide value to your team. So it's important to have a good preferred walk-on program, but it is not an indicator of what's going on with the coaches, especially when you're talking about an in-state kid who's got a sweet deal because he went to high school in Detroit and doesn't have to pay tuition. I mean, come on, man. That's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer situation for that kid. So anyway, that's just wanted to throw that out there. Those were just a few of the like kind of newsy items that took place over the last couple of days and obviously wanted to address them real quick. Anything else, Chris? What do we got? We're coming up on an hour and 15 minutes, man.
The only thing we had on the docket was the Big Ten and some of the discussions that were happening there. But I think maybe we save that if we're going live Friday, right? Or Saturday,
I think what we'll do is we'll go Saturday after the Michigan State game.
Perfect. Yeah. So maybe we can parlay that into the discussion depending on what happens on Saturday. But basically, the Big Ten, you know, there's discussions doing away with the divisions, some realignment sort of thing. And obviously, the fans within the Big Ten have been talking about this for a long time. So we'll touch on that a little bit Saturday.
Sounds good. I like it. Again, we got some good stuff coming, man. I'm really looking forward to that interview that Chris talked about. We're gonna revive TFG.
This f***ing guy.
We're bringing it back. We're gonna do one every week. I know we kind of let it slide once we went away from our segments because we just didn't have game stuff to talk about every week. But I'm like, there's still TFGs this running around guy. Out there. Every week we got a TFG.
Every damn week.
So we're gonna bring that back. We'll do that on Saturday.
Appreciate you, Darren. Appreciate you.
Probably do it on Monday. Monday was our typical TFG day. We'll let the weekend's activities take place. Some dummy will do something out there in the world, and we can talk about it. Yeah, Jim Harbaugh actually hit me up and said that he wanted to come on. I said, you know what, Coach? Until you figure it out, I just don't know. I don't think that's what we want to do.
Well, I heard he was waiting for us to sort of decide what we wanted him to do before he would decide what he wanted to do.
I don't know. Should I flex for a minute?
No.
Oh, cover up Jim Harbaugh's phone number. Sorry, guys. Can't be putting that out there, dog. Full disclosure, I do have Jim Harbaugh's phone number. I have never used it for anything. A recruit once upon a time said, hey, hit up. A recruit gave me his number and asked me to hit up Jim Harbaugh to ask him something. I'm like, you must be beside your mind. But I have, of course, saved his number. Just to say that I have it. It might not be his number anymore at this point, but I have no reason to believe that it's not. So anyway, there you go. We always outlast our outro music?
Because we talk too damn much.
We can't stop. I will give you Jim Harbaugh's phone number if you give me $1,000. That's what I'll say. Put that out there for everybody listening. I'm not doing that.
The ball rolling on what?
What's the ball rolling? Get the ball rolling on what? Marty Perez?
I don't know.
Marty Perez. It's a pretty cool name. I like that. Those names don't really, unless it's like Martin. Is it Martin? Martin Perez? Marty and Perez don't go together to me.
Sounds like an alias.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fake name. We just talked all the way through the outro, and now it rebooted, and it's going again. So we probably should get out of here. Get the ball rolling on Harbaugh. Okay, gotcha.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
All right, guys, really appreciate it. Thanks. Big, big thanks to John Ubakin, man. That was awesome. I mean, he said it. If maybe we'll have him back on next week, dude. I don't know. I mean, having him on once, now we've got that rapport there. It'd be great to have him back. We'll see what happens. Chris, it's Friday, January 27th. Are we going to know something by Friday, February 3rd?
It's Thursday. It's Thursday.
God, I'm an idiot. It's Thursday. January 27th. Are we going to know something by Thursday, February 3rd?
Yes. Whoa! Yes, an answer is coming next week because it has to.
It has
things, things are picking up in the NFL. It sounds like the Raiders are going to make some moves here pretty quickly, one way or another. I just think we're going to get some resolution next week.
I was trying. I can't even find it. I can't even find it. I know I have it on here somewhere, but
this might be the worst ending of a podcast that we've. What show number is this? 100 and... Breaking news.
I'm waiting for you.
Well, listen, I can confirm. Sources have told me, i.e. Brandon, that we can expect a decision next week from Jim Harbaugh, an announcement. What's that?
Said me?
Yeah, you.
I didn't say that.
I'll put it on you, man. You're already taking the heat. I don't want to enter the ring.
Good God. Third round of outro music. I'm leaving.
Jesus. Today.